You've decided to unleash this Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast. Go you. Now unleash your limitless potential with FitStop. Australia's most exciting fitness family is now open. Download the FitStop app and select Melville.
St. John of God's Hospital's orthopaedic care will move you. And this bloke moves us every time he hits the footy field.
Allen, unbelievable!
It's Pete, Matt and Kimber's very own West Coast Eagle, Oscar Allen.
Good morning, Oscar.
Hey, guys. How are you? A little bit of a different setup this morning.
Yep. Isn't it? You got Matt down the screen there. He still puts on quite a show. He's down in Albany putting on quite a performance.
Yep. I hate not being able to see you, Oscar, but hello.
How are you going? Good?
Good, buddy, yeah.
What's going on down there?
Oh, it's a beautiful little town.
Yep.
And a lovely football field, which I drove past late last night.
It is. I think we've spoken before. A lot of my family are actually from Denmark, so just around the corner. And my brother is actually playing footy in Denmark this weekend. So mum and dad spend a lot of time down there with all my uncles, and it's a beautiful part of the world.
Well, I'll stay longer and I'll drive down there and beat my horn when he kicks a goal.
Yeah, exactly. He's the one with the mullet and carrying about an extra 15 or 20 kilos, isn't he?
Oh, that Alan. Oh,
yes, that
he's
one.
He's the dude who looks like he ate Oscar.
Yes, correct.
Now, Oscar, a fantastic derby win. I mean, did you guys go in thinking, yeah, we've got this?
I've got to say yes, don't I? I think you've always got to go in with a bit of confidence, but obviously I hinted at it early when I came on and I was wondering if you guys would catch my drift that I was going to play down back. We had a couple of injuries, obviously Jeremy McGovern, Tom Brass, and then Shannon Hearn, which are probably three of our best players. Mm-hmm. So it was a pleasing result with a lot of young players coming in, and to win, especially derbies, is always means a little bit more to the playing group.
Yes, it was nice of you to give us that little, exclusive. You'll be playing down the back. Thanks for that. But, mate, how are you feeling? I mean, you got to go over to Melbourne, and you were saying something earlier that we found really interesting. You got to win away before it becomes a thing. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so obviously it's spoken about in extensive detail that we, as the out-of-state side, have to travel every second week. So everyone out of Victoria has to do that. And it's often spoken about how it's harder to win away from home. And us at the football club, we don't believe that. We're pretty big on wherever, whoever, we can get it done. Until we lose a couple in a row and the media scrutiny, I suppose, comes about and they continue to speak about how we don't win away from home, and it almost gets spoken into existence. So it's not something we ever talk about at the football club because we're a pretty mature group and we have a lot of confidence in ourselves. But it definitely becomes something where can become an issue. It's not yet, so we want to nip it on the butt pretty early in the year, get one away from home, and then get on with it, really.
Oh, God, don't listen to the media. It's because everybody wants us to talk about football every day, and there's only so many things you can talk about. So if you're going to bring it up, they're like, what can we talk about? And they just put more emphasis on it.
Yeah, exactly right. Footy is probably the biggest, or definitely is the biggest sport in Perth, and all you need to do is open the paper, and even if nothing's happening, there'll be someone plastered on the front page about how they're doing this, that, or the other. So it's definitely interesting, and there's a lot to talk about, but it's just one of the things you have to deal with being from Perth.
And, buddy, of course, the world we're living at the moment, you never know when you get on a plane how long you may be away for. I mean, are you guys told to take an extra pair of jocks when you get on a plane?
Yeah, we've been given a little bit of a forewarning just in case something happens, but we're pretty confident and comfortable with the situation. I think masks are officially off at the end of today. Mm-hmm. And I think the Premier announced yesterday that there should be a crowd for our home game next week, unless there's something goes wrong. So if there's no more COVID cases, so fingers crossed. But I suppose we're just like everyone else in society. It's dictated by what happens, and you can't really be sour about it. You just got to get on the way, and we're pretty lucky there. They do everything they can for us to get a game away and a season away. So we're one of the fortunate few, I think.
And so Mother's Day coming up, do you do something special for your mum, or is being Oscar Allen special enough?
Obviously this weekend I'll be away. So my first year playing, I played probably one of my best games early in my career. And they actually interviewed me after the game, and I said, Happy Mother's Day to Mum. And she said, well, I'm expecting that every week now. So hopefully I'll get a couple kicks on the weekend, and I might have to do a live cross to her from Channel 7 or whoever's covering the game. But apart from that, I might have some flowers delivered, but that's all I'll give you at this stage because I know she'll be up and listening. Hi, Mum, if you're out there.
Hello, Oscar's mum.
Hello, Oscar's mum.
We should get her in one day. You can bring her in. Do you know, I actually, before we went to air, I just wanted to check that Oscar's mum was still with us because I was like, I didn't want to ask on air what you're doing for Mother's Day and you'd be in an uncomfortable position. But the way I asked it is I said, Oscar, is your mum still around? And he went, I said, is your mum around? And he went, you know I drive, right? Like, she didn't drop me off. as if she just brought him along and she was waiting in the car park every week.
Yeah, I was thinking, how young do you think I am? I'm 22. I'm a grown-up. Like, I brush my own teeth before I go to bed. Like.
Good on you, mate.
Well, Oscar, thanks so much for coming in. All the best for the game, and we'll see you again next week.
No worries, guys. Have a good week.
This is Pete, Matt and Kimber.
Guys, when I was single, I used to have a fear that I would be alone in my apartment and I would, like, choke on a cornflake.
Oh, right?
Choke to my death. And there'd be no one there to save me because I'm on my own. And I don't know how long you'd be there. That type of thing, right? Like, I don't know.
Sounds like a Morrissey song.
Well, you know, choking is really scary. And, of course, when it happens to kids and stuff, it's terrifying. But as an adult, you kind of think that you've got the swallowing thing down by now.
Mm.
And that you know how to chew your food and it shouldn't be a problem. But every now and then it takes you by surprise.
Yes.
And I saw a video on Reddit yesterday. It was from the surveillance of a school cafeteria at a high school in America. And this high schooler was choking. And he couldn't, he was trying to, like, you know, dislodge it and standing over a bin and was thinking he was going to be sick. And then his mate got up with his school bag on and everything, just gave him the Heimlich maneuver.
Awesome.
The guy spat it out, saved his life. Right now, like, it was so casually done. And I know, like, it's based on Dr. Henry Heimlich, who created this maneuver, and it's what they do in America. It's not the way we do it in Australia. In Australia, if someone's choking, we deliver 5 decent back blows between the person's shoulder blades with the heel of your hand.
Yeah, but again, what does that mean? This is the problem I have with these advice, you know, decent blows and the Heimlich remover. They say a decent blow. It's like when you're told to pull down firmly on the oxygen mask in a plane. How hard is firmly?
Oh, mate, you would give it a good go. I mean, okay. The first thing you're going to do is bruise their back, maybe break a, you know, something. But, I mean, you'd save their life, right? Mm. So you'd give it a good whack.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, but what fascinated me is that I was reading the comments on this video and there was a disturbing number of people who said, I've had to do this maneuver on myself. Right? Where they've been alone and they've had to, like, ram themselves against the kitchen bench or over a dining chair or something.
Yeah, right.
To dislodge something from their body. And I was like, okay, so I'm going to throw it out there. Have you ever had to use the Heimlich? When have you done it? Now, I know, as I said, I'm using Heimlich maneuver because it's the term that we kind of know, mm-hmm. even though it is not the way it's done in Australia. But have you ever had to kind of dislodge something using that type of maneuver?
I'd especially like to hear if someone's done it on themselves, like you just said, like imagine with a chair or
so
something.
So presumably you have to drop down onto your diaphragm. So you have to, like, really push something like an ironing board table or,
yeah,
you
like
know,
you're like, throwing your full body weight.
Yeah. Oh my
at
God.
It. Like that gives you an idea of when you talk about how hard do you
how
give
hard
a back
to do
blow.
It. Yeah.
You know, these people are like, I threw myself at the kitchen bench. And the horror of thinking you're on your own.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the necessary, like, how terrifying.
Sarah's in Canning Vale. Hey, Sarah.
Hey.
Sarah, what did you have to do? What happened?
So I used to work in a care home for teenagers. It was my first shift alone and we were cooking dinner and I actually had to use the Heimlich maneuver twice in one night on the same dinner table.
What did you cook?
We just made pasta and I don't know what happened. I was so nervous and suddenly I hear this choking sound and one of the teenagers is choking. So I run to that table and it takes a good few thumps and, like, I'm like, okay, good, we're calm, we're back to normal. And then I turn around because I hear another teenager. And we ran to the other side of the table and it was not a good night for my first day.
You do know you have to boil the pasta first, don't you?
Also, I think that's a good night. You saved two lives in one evening. I mean, you've absolutely put them at risk in the first place. But
Oh,
that's
wow.
Great. That's called the double Heimlich. Thank you, Sarah. We'll go to Josie from Mandurah. Hey, Jose.
So this actually got used on me. I was probably about 8 years old, and I was eating those gobstoppers, you know, the marble-sized ones.
Yes.
And I'm just chilling on the couch, you know, minding my own business, and it gets stuck, and I've just gone completely white, like panic mode, full on. And Mum's seen me from the other side of the room, and she's just run over, grabbed me, just absolutely thumped this thing out of my throat, and it's launched across the room.
Wow.
Oh, man. Yeah, your mum must have been so scared.
I thought I was dying. Like,
well, you were.
No, she was actually pretty calm, cool, calm and collected. It was me in a state. But, yeah, just grabbed me and this thing just flew.
Yeah, see, at least, and these are people who probably aren't trained in any of it. You've just got to get stuck in, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Wow, wow.
Thanks, Jose.
And this is why I will never understand why parents feed small kids grapes. Because whenever I've been there, when they've been eating grapes, they've started choking without a doubt.
Well, they've said you have to cut them in half. In the last few years, they've been like, if you're giving kids grapes, you've got to cut them in half.
Okay.
Letitia's in Spearwood. Have you had a Heimlich manoeuvre experience, have you?
Yes, and I did it on myself.
Oh, tell us what happened. This creeps me out.
Oh, it is the most frightening thing. I was in the movie theatres eating Maltesers and I breathed in.
Sorry.
I breathed in at the same time as trying to, I don't know, it just lodged in my throat.
Oh.
And I was with my husband at the time and I'm freaking out, grabbed him. He didn't know what I was doing. He's like, what are you doing? And so then I just started thumping on my own chest and it projectiled out. It was like a movie in the movie theater and then I threw up. So it was most embarrassing. It was awful. It was awful. But adrenaline kicks in and you just pound on your chest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get it out. You don't have to worry about how hard or whatever because adrenaline just gets in and you're just going to hit that until it comes out.
Can you eat Maltesers again?
No.
Oh, what a shame.
And do you remember what film it was?
No.
Hey, Casey, you know, we were talking the other day about what your siblings primarily threw at you, and I told you the story that my mum once got so angry with me in Beckenham in Gravity Street that she threw my acoustic guitar at me hard enough that it smashed to pieces on the wall.
So and Judy had poor aim.
Judy had poor aim and quite the Taurean temper, as she would tell you. And I've been sort of reflecting on it because obviously this will be the first Mother's Day I've had without Jude's. My mum passed away earlier this year. And it was making me think about what a little so-and-so I was. Fortunately, I have her ashes sitting on my piano, so I can say sorry to her in a little song or ditty over the weekend. But I thought, hey, maybe we can open up the phones and get people to call it and go, Mum, I love you and I'm really sorry.
You know what? I think it is. It's almost like a rite of passage. You go through a certain period where you maybe don't understand what your mum does for you.
Sure.
You don't appreciate her. I think definitely growing up, you know, I was obviously a very headstrong teenager and pretty gutsy and also quite spontaneous. So I gave my mum a lot of sleepless nights when I would go out because she would be like, I don't know what you're going to end up doing. You could end up anywhere because I just would kind of be like, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I think my mum probably copped the biggest wrath of me when I was frustrated or angry because she was so understanding and tolerant and she always forgave me.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
like, so you end up sort of yelling at your mum and I feel terrible for it now, but I also think mum kind of understands that sort of the how it goes, you know.
Yeah.
Sharon from Wandy's, our first caller. Hey, Shaz.
Hi, guys. Happy Friday.
Oh, likewise, Sharon. Do you want to take this opportunity before Mother's Day to apologise to your mum for something?
Yes, I'd like to apologise to my mum wholeheartedly from deep down in my soul for getting kicked out of high school in year 12.
Oh, sorry. What happened, Sharon?
Young and stupid, I went to school drunk.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Did you ever go back and finish it?
No, they wouldn't let me, but they did let me sit my exam, so...
Oh, that's all right.
Sharon, did they let you resit the exam at the beer garden?
That would have been a good idea.
Yeah.
Good on you, Sharon. Jane's in Swanview. What do you need to say sorry to mum for?
Yeah, hi. I'd like to say sorry to my mum for making her wait up late at night at my window for me to crawl back in.
How many times did you crawl out the window, Jane?
Probably about 6-7 times. So I was about 16.
Isn't that awful what we put them through?
I love her, and I'm sorry for that, Mum.
Good on you, Jane.
Oh, to still be young enough that the crawling out the window is a perfectly reasonable way of getting in and out of a house.
Now, we've got Josh from Bayswater here, who's only 22, so I feel like this might be kind of like a fresh apology to Mum. Hello, Joshy.
Hi, how's it going? I want to apologise to my mum for, you know, still living with her. And, you know, she's still doing the old, you know, cooking and cleaning, all that good stuff for me. So, yeah, I've got to say sorry for that.
What a nice life. What's your mum's name?
Her name's Tina.
Oh, Tina, you're doing a smashing job, but make sure you teach him all the skills he needs to look after himself when he leaves.
And, Josh, while I'm sure that's a heartfelt apology, you have no intention of leaving, do you?
Nah, she's got a few good, you know, a few more years before she
retires. Pete, Matt and Kimber's Crack the Code.
Crack the Code.
With Perth Safety Deposit Boxes.
So, guys, new comp starting up on Monday. Pete, Matt and Kimber's Crack the Code.
This is an absolute beauty. You've got the chance to win a $10,000 gold bar. Not just that, set with an Argyle pink diamond.
Yeah, and this is a setup with Perth Safety Deposit Boxes, which is the kind of place you want to keep a diamond, really, like that, isn't it?
It certainly is, yeah. So make sure you're listening to Carrie and Tommy from 3 today. And, Kimber, we're going to give a four-digit code because it's called Crack the Code.
That's right. You remember that code and then you listen for the cue to call on Monday morning. But the good news is we're going to give you the code right now so you know what it is.
Go on then.
So be listening Monday from 6 and this is the code for your chance to win 8566. That is 8566.
Yeah, remember that code, then listen for the cue to call on Monday morning and you could be joining us on the Mix 94.5 rooftop for breakfast and one lucky person will win this massive prize.
Pete, Matt and Kimber's Crack the Code. Secure it safely at Perth Safety Deposit Boxes.
His Wikipedia page describes him as one of Australia's most experienced and well-travelled comedians. Doesn't say anything about funny. Lucky he is, which is why we love him. Please welcome, friend of the show, Limo. Yay!
G'day, mate.
Hello.
Oh, no, we're clapping you in. We haven't spoken to you in a while. How are you, friend?
It has been a while. Hello, Kimber. Hello, Matt. And hello, Tim.
G'day, mate.
On this Friday morning. More boy George, please.
I know.
Oh, what a toe tapper. Am I showing my age by saying toe tapper?
No, I love it. It was the first cassette tape my dad ever bought for me, and I loved that album.
Oh,
what a joy. Just makes you happy listening back to a bit of boy George. Hey, you guys were taking calls just a few moments ago from people apologising to their mothers ahead of Mother's Day. Can I just do a little bit of bragging and patting myself on the back? I have nailed Mother's Day this year with my own mother.
Oh.
Well, I haven't covered myself in glory over the years, Kimber. I've got to be honest with you. There have certainly been years where all I've given my mum is a phone call.
Right.
On Mother's Day. And I think there are years when I may not have even done that on Mother's Day. But this week I rang mum and I said, I'm sending you a parcel for Mother's Day. And she said, okay, I'll keep an eye out for it. A couple of days later, she sent me a text and she said, oh, I've received the parcel. Thank you very much. And I sent her a book and the book is called Dear Mum. Right. And she received it. She said, I've got your book. It looks great. Thank you so much. When I get a chance in the next few days, I'll sit down and read it. Fast forward 24 hours after that, she gets back to me because in the book Dear Mum, it's put together by Sam Johnson, former Gold Logie winner dude who has the charity Love Your Sister, and all the proceeds from the sales of the book go to Love Your Sister. There are 40 contributors to the book. All of them have written a letter to their mum. There's Guy Pearce, Shane Jacobson, Amanda Keller, Peter Hellyer, Rebecca Gibney, big long list. And I am one of the people in the book who's written a letter to my mum and she just discovered it organically while she was reading the book. I hadn't told her about the letter.
Oh.
And then she opened the book to read it, and she read the letter from me to her in the book.
Oh, nice. Did you take some time, Limo? Was it a good letter?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't the best. it was just... Mum, I can't really think of anything but Happy Mother's Day.
And nothing says I love you and thank you very much like becoming a published author.
Exactly. She said you could have sent me the letter direct instead of via Sam Johnson and a publishing company, but I do appreciate it.
It's a public expression of love. How gorgeous.
It is indeed. And she was she was very grateful for that. Anyway, the book's out there if you want to buy it. I mean, obviously it has more appeal for the people who are in the book. So I think they're looking at selling 40 copies. Each of the contributors. So, yeah, Mum was over the moon when she read that. So happy with myself. But I do have to question my own parenting with my wife. Our son, this, I don't know, kids, I'm concerned about the ease with which my son lies.
Yeah.
All right.
He's 4 years of age. Let me give you three examples just from this week, right? The other morning, couldn't find his jumper before kinder, and my wife saying to him, where's your jumper? Where is it? And he said, looks my wife in the eye and says, oh, Fernanda, that's the name of our babysitter. Fernanda got angry yesterday and threw it over the fence.
Oh, no.
That didn't happen. That just didn't happen.
No.
That
didn't.
He broke the bird bath in our backyard and he's walking through the back door into the house immediately after it's broken. And my wife says, what happened out there? And he says, Grandma broke it. Grandma wasn't even in the house. But he... He blamed Grandma. And then the other day I'm talking to him and I said, mate, are you going to pick that muffin up off the floor? And he said, I didn't drop it.
Oh.
And I said, but you're eating a muffin and you're standing over it. So I reckon it was you. He goes, no, it wasn't me. I said, mate, no one else in this house is eating a muffin. You're the only one. He said, yeah, I didn't drop it.
Oh, dude, you've got to be so careful because if they see the power that their lies have over you, you're finished.
Oh, yeah, I know. See, I think we've given the game away already.
Yes.
We've given it.
Limo, don't worry about it because kids who lie, it's actually a sign of intelligence. It shows that they have the capacity to think outside themselves and they realise that if no one else was there to witness it, that there's a possibility they can get away with it. It's extra It's extra level thinking.
Well, we've got bloody Albert Einstein on our end. I tell you what, he is a genius. But he did cover himself in glory very quickly, guys. My wife was on a very important work Zoom call this week. My wife is currently casting Celebrity Big Brother for the production
where's the
company.
Call?
She'll get to you, guys. She'll get to you. And she was on a very important Zoom call with the executive producer and a big-name manager talking about some big-name stars. And I had to leave the house to go to a gig, so I sat our son in front of the television. I said, do not move. Mum's on an important Zoom call. I'm leaving the house for a gig. And my wife said I'd been gone for about 10 minutes when she's looking into the computer screen on the Zoom call and over her right shoulder, slowly sneaking up behind her, is our son wearing a Donald Trump wig. And she turns around and she says, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm Donald Trump.
Oh.
So everyone's watching this on the screen. She says, yeah, but what are you doing? And he goes, I'm drinking bleach. Because apparently that's what Donald Trump does. And then he wouldn't leave. So my wife had to conduct the rest of the Zoom meeting with a four-year-old in a Donald Trump wig.
Love it.
Talented and COVID-free.
Yeah, there we go. So he's a liar, but he's entertaining. So.
Yeah, love it. He's real smart. Thanks, Limo.
Thank you, guys.
Good on you, mate.
Good to talk to you. What a week, what a week, what a week, what
an easy old week. The week in Perth, yeah. Well, I tell you what, it's never easy to follow a brand new Coldplay with a song that you've knocked up in 5 minutes. But, you know, when I started this job, all I ever really wanted to do was to bring people together. And unfortunately, one of the side effects of our fun game, North versus South, is I feel like we're tearing the city apart.
Creating a divide.
We're creating a divide. And, of course, we've discovered in this game that we're dividing the city along the line of the Swan River. The Swan River has become our Trump's wall. And I've never thought that way of our river before. And it sent me into a melancholy place. Starts as a trickle in the darling scarp.
its waters flow through our city's heart, carrying jellyfish and bull sharks towards the ocean, where it splits Fremantle south from north. They say it all depends which side you're from. A wall of water between all of us, the Swan River. Which side are you on? Hey, the Northies are just made this way. Think the Trig's the only place for waves. Feel at home on the Mitchell Freeway. Bunch of weirdos. And the Southies are a breed apart. They claim to all know the Premier Mark. Say the sun shines out of their arse. Think they're legends. Question could lead to a stoush, so I'll just be quiet as a mouse, cause I'm from Beckenham.
Your Pete, Matt and Kimber podcast may have finished, but your chance to enjoy functional group training with a strong focus on progression is about to begin. FitStop is now open in Perth. Download the FitStop app and select Melville. Mix 94.